God made a man to be aggressive, to respond to challenge, to glory in his manhood, to risk great hazards for the one he loves.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise, given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua, is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about a wife's obedience to her husband. I have a letter from a woman who says, "When I speak to my husband, he often doesn't reply. When he is around the house, I look for times to talk to him as he doesn't hear me when he has other things on his mind. He's definitely a one-track mind person. He knows all this. I'm trying not to criticize him and complain. I'm asking God to give me patience, take away strong desires for attention, compliments, and comments from my husband. God has begun a good work in me and is doing more. But my husband does not give me the amount of intimacy I need. I feel hurt and put down as a significant person by his quietness. Yet I know I'm significant to him. I know he loves me. He is trying very hard to be more intimate. I feel like I'm the mate who loves the most." And I think of those two lines of poetry that I have pasted on my typewriter. "If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me." She says, "He initiates talking about observing things. I often do not see with my eyes as quickly and thoroughly as he does. So this is a richness added to my life. Yes, our brains seem to operate differently. What do I do? Where do I take all my words that I leave unsaid? How do I be me?" Well, these are common questions. So many talk about the fact that their husbands don't communicate in the way that they think they need. The great question is, do you believe that God is in your marriage? Even if you weren't Christians at the time, even if you look back and think we got into this very carelessly, if you're a Christian, this is the place where God has put you. And God has promised to meet all your needs. Remember, there is no man in the world who can make you happy or meet all your needs. I'm reading now from Elizabeth Rice Hanford's book, Me, Obey Him. She says, after her sentence, "You do not have a right to expect your husband to make you happy," I hasten to add that the marriage of a godly man and woman based on Bible principles brings mutual delight and blessing unmatched by any other earthly relationship. You have a husband's lifelong concern for your welfare. Not only do you have the privilege of a heavenly inheritance, and not only do you have the privilege of choosing the man you marry and obey, you also have the privilege of a husband's lifelong concern for your welfare. Can you imagine the awesome task a man takes upon himself when he assumes the lifetime responsibility of a wife and family? Food, clothing, shelter, the care and training of the children, all these he commits himself to for the rest of his life. No matter how he feels, he must go out into the world each day to earn the money, to feed the family, and pay the bills. A wife can, let's face it, she really can, if she doesn't feel well, stagger around long enough to get the kids off to school and the baby fed, and then go back to bed until supper time when she can open a couple of cans, if she has to. But her husband, no matter if the company he works for lays off workers, including him, no matter if his job is replaced by a machine, no matter if he has a case of the blahs or a toothache or the flu, it is his responsibility to put food on the table and a roof over the head of his family that day. An old rhyme says, "Man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done." And it's true. Believe me, it's true. How do I know? Because we have 7 children. That's how I know. But it is also true that if I decide to take a couple of hours off to window shop or go to the library or sew a dress, the work is still there when I come back to it. That isn't true with a man's work. If he doesn't work, he doesn't get paid. A wife ought to understand how much a man gives when he gives her his name and his pledge to care for her until they are parted by death. You have another privilege. You thought it was a liability, but you'll discover it's a privilege. You have freedom from having to take the consequences of making decisions. When you give back to your husband the responsibility for the direction of the home and the making of decisions, you also give him the responsibility for the consequences of his decisions. My friend Marty said it this way: "When I found out Dave was supposed to be the head of this family, it sure made life simple. Now he makes the decisions, and he's stuck with them." Fortunately, that's the way a man likes it. God made a man to be aggressive, to respond to challenge, to glory in his manhood, to rejoice in draining his strength, to risk great hazards for the one he loves. It is his very aggressiveness that a woman sometimes finds frightening, simply because she's a woman. She doesn't have confidence in her physical strength, in her ability to cope with danger, in her decision-making ability. It is a privilege, a gift unearned, for a woman to have a man take upon himself her welfare. Many of the disagreements that come up in a marriage relationship stem from this basic difference of man and woman. If I had my druthers, if I followed my nesting instincts, the Hanford family would never commit itself to buying a car, even a used one. It frightens me to see those big numbers written out on a solemn sales contract. Yet to my husband, the responsibility of buying a car and paying for it is part and parcel of his commitment to meet the needs of this family. He can and will pay for it. It need not be any of my concern. "But when my husband spends too much money on other things," you protest, "I'm the one who has to pinch pennies. It always has to come out of the grocery money. That doesn't seem fair." You're right about where the pinch comes. Food purchases are a major living expense in most households, and one of the few unfixed costs. Often the only place you can squeeze out money is in buying cheaper groceries. In that sense, beyond a doubt, a wife pays the consequences of her husband's financial decisions. But she'll pay consequences far more serious if she usurps his right to make those decisions. If she manages the money to keep that poor idiot from driving us to the poorhouse, she had better get used to the task of worrying all the time about where the money is coming from. No man stripped of his pride in providing for his family will show much concern about the bills. How much better it is to let him make the decisions, let him cope with the consequences, and when needed, pinch the pennies in grocery buying. God has a wonderful way of working it out for the comfort of the whole family when a woman leaves the decisions to her husband. But the greatest privilege a loving, submissive wife has is that of being a help to her husband. King Solomon said it simply: "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." There is a wonder, a multiplication in the union of a man and woman, far more than either of them could accomplish alone. It's not the simple addition of 1 + 1 = 2. It's a miraculous multiplying of strength, such as God promised the Israelites when 5 could chase 100, but 100 would put 10,000 of the enemy to flight. A good woman, deeply loving her husband, happily submissive, earnestly praying for him, eager to help him. A good woman can inspire a man to service far beyond what he could have dreamed of alone. But it's all tied together with a woman's obeying her husband, perhaps because her honest dependence draws forth his exultant effort. Rollo May, in his book Love and Will, tells of a Greek island where no woman has set foot in 500 years. The monks who live there, he says, are effeminate in voice and action. Why? A man needs a truly womanly woman to stir his instinctive manliness. This marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. People who must measure their 50% never can agree where the line is anyway. This marriage is 100% and 100%, total, wholehearted commitment all the way. She does everything she can think of to make him happy. She does everything she is humanly capable of doing for his sake. Then she trusts God to work in her husband's heart whatever is needed there. Notice what alchemy her love and devotion does. Proverbs 31:10-12 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." This good woman, this obedient woman, has earned the complete trust of her husband. Since she wants to do what he wants her to do, there is never a conflict. He knows she won't betray him before business associates or friends. Her every act, her every thought, does him good. I've been reading from Elizabeth Handford's book, Me Obey Him, and tomorrow the chapter is But What About the Problems?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.